Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
County Antrim-based business couple have been awarded £300,000 libel damages as part of a landmark legal battle in Northern Ireland to uncover the operator of the gossip website Tattle Life. And entrepreneurs Neil and Donna Sands secured the payout in a defamation and harassment lawsuit. Details of the case can be revealed after reporting restrictions on naming the defendant companies and suspected operator of the site, Sebastian Bond, were lifted at the High Court in Belfast. Neil Sands is with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Just explain, first of all, Neil, to listeners, when did you first become aware of Tattle Life and what kind of website it is?
Yeah, so the website Tattle Life is completely unknown to me until February of 2021. I'm a digital entrepreneur myself, and my online reputation matters to me. My wife and I have both businesses, and so I always try to monitor just various things that are happening online. And we discovered through a friend that there had been a thread created on this gossip site, and it kind of holding itself out as a gossip site, Andrea, but it's really quite a well-designed and moderated forum for hate, stalking, defamation, and abuse. And so both of our businesses had been mentioned on there in highly defamatory ways. And that was in February 2021. It just got worse from there over the course of the next couple of years.
So it was a friend, Neil, really brought it to your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Donna's business, Silky, has a large online community and, you know, always very, very positive. And they're, I suppose, always looking out for her and her interests as well. So a number of members of her community raised it with her as well. And as we got into the site, Andrea, it just became clear that, you know, what was being said and done to us online paled in comparison with some of the other threads. I think ours was 45 pages long, but there are ones that...
Which is a novel, Neil.
Yeah, it is. Like it's 1,000 messages. Yeah. But there were others, Andrea, that had, you know, 600, 700 threads each with that volume. So it really went quite a depth.
And without, you know, repeating the defamation, or in as much as you feel comfortable, Neil, can you maybe just explain to listeners the tone of the messages, the sort of the personal attacks about you and your wife?
Yeah, sure. And it, you know, it went to friends and family as well. It doesn't just stay on topic, as you can imagine, Andrea. So thematically, there was two things happening. The first was there was defamation around the business, lots of lies and various deformities about how we conduct our business and our relationship, whatever else. But the second was it also descended pretty quickly into stalking. And we were in a restaurant one evening, and young lady came over to us and her boyfriend. She recognized Donna, and we sat down, we had a chat. She was from Drogheda, where I'm from. And we bought them a drink and away they went. And about 30 minutes later on the site, a friend said, "Hey, this has been said about you on there." And it was specific to what had been discussed in dialogue with this couple. And so at that stage, we started to understand that, you know, folks were really stalking us, and there was details of our house. I was in another public space another time, just outside a bar, and there was a series of messages that people were watching me and so on and so forth. So really unnerving, and especially for, you know, both of us have enjoyed very good times in business and our communities have been very positive. And so to see this kind of community centered around the hate and abuse and the stalking was just very shocking.
And like, that obviously for you and your wife, for Donna as well, Neil, like, you've concerns now around your safety. It's escalated far beyond the reputational damage that's been done to both of your businesses online, to you as personal individuals, but there's now safety concerns that have been highlighted in all of this.
Absolutely. And as I say, you know, our thread was innocuous in comparison with some of the other things that we've heard. What we didn't expect when the news broke on Friday, and it's been a very long time coming, was the outpouring of other victims of this site that we've learned. Thousands of messages, Andrea, and some of them, you know, really quite dark and concerning, where this site has pushed people to the very edges of their mental health. Mm. And for us, it was a case that, look, if we can do something, we should. My background is in technology, so I took on with that side of it.
So when did you decide enough was enough and we're going to do something about it?
Yeah, so look, after the incident with that lady in the restaurant, that certainly you know, spurred us on a little bit. But I started digging into, I spent most of my career in Silicon Valley. I started digging into the website with a couple of friends that would understand the cybersecurity space very well. And we discovered that, look, there were some elements here that we could start to unpack and maybe help to understand his identity. We paired up with Gately Legal in Northern Ireland and really best in category folks at this online and media space. And over the course of, you know, what's been four very long years, we went through a series of legal and technical undertakings to discover who the identity of the site was. And then, Andrea, when we found out who it was, you know, we had a duty of care to protect that person, ironically, because there are so many victims and, you know, folks perhaps less reasonable than Donna and I who would want to find this person and hold them accountable by whatever means.
Yeah. And that was, I suppose, the sort of the maybe somewhat difficult decision to have to make, that this now goes far beyond yourself and Donna. There's so many people to take into consideration.
Absolutely. And from all walks of life. So the example that Donna gives is, Donna's had stores, she's a fashion entrepreneur. Mm. And so she's had the store since she was 16. And she said that, like, no one would dare walk into the store and shout at her and abuse her and defame her and abuse the store and damage it and walk back out again. But that's exactly what's happening in the online space, you know, every moment of every day. And so, you know, that's where, when, if it was a public space, the police would step in, the authorities would step in, and there'd be something done. And so, you know, we don't want this to be, we didn't want to do this work in the first place. We didn't want to be famous for this work by any means. We didn't want to take this on, but there has to be some accountability in the online space. And if it takes this to do it, so be it.
Yeah. And I suppose that probably gives us a little bit of a sense, Neil, of the emotional turmoil that you and Donna must have gone through, you know, to be the deciding figures that were going to stand up and say, we've had enough of this, we're actually going to take a legal case. And I'm sure at the very outset of this, you know, with the possibility of huge expense and huge cost facing both of you guys.
Yeah, so look, that's a matter of public record. The judge has awarded 1.8 total in between damages and our legal expenses. It wasn't clear to us at any stage, even until we got the judgment of the case, you know, back a number of months ago, that we were going to see any of that back. And it is a big undertaking. And look, we're not a big organization or anything. We're just a normal couple trying to get on with our business positively. And so, you know, the award, we were very, very grateful for that recognition from the Justice McLinden. However, there are folks that can't undertake this, and we've done the best we can with the resources that we have. But, you know, it's certainly on the authorities now to act. And as I mentioned earlier on in a short call that I had, Google have a responsibility here, as they're serving ads on his side and paying him money.
Particularly, Neil, for you, when you're in this sort of space professionally, you know, like I was talking to friends myself over the weekend, you know, and some of them maybe in the media world that they themselves and I myself have been somewhat subject to, you know, very negative critical commentary online, on boards, on threads and on posts. And we know how difficult that is. But for two kind of regular Joes to stand up and take legal proceedings, particularly about somebody who's anonymity was unknown, I mean, it just highlights the challenges that were involved in this.
Absolutely. And, it, you know, in addition to the legal challenges, and there have been lots of people that have mounted legal battles, you know, this guy's inbox has been full for the best part of a decade of various solicitors and lawyers that have come after him and threatened action, and, you know, figures a lot bigger than us. But folks that are online, and they consider this veil of anonymity to be, you know, an impenetrable shield, that isn't the case. The email address that's tied to that account, the IP address, folks say, oh, well, I use a burner email, or, you know, they'll never be able to find my IP address, or there'll be GDPR protections. None of those things are true. And in fact, given the advances in AI and machine learning over the course of the last few years, and this is something that we have built ourselves to deal with this exact case, there's a lot of machine learning and natural language processing that technical ability to find what somebody says and how they write is as unique to them as their fingerprint. So if you've defamed somebody anonymously online and you've posted a Facebook update or you've got an Instagram update, that language is highly identifiable. And that's work that we've been undertaking as well.
You know, it's funny, isn't it, when you think about free speech? And the fact that, you know, so many people are obviously, and rightly so, huge promoters of free speech. But there's a fine line for when free speech and, you know, critique of fair public commentary crosses the line, Neil, to become defamatory remarks and conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you've got, that site is live today, and I'm not encouraging anybody to visit it. It's quite a dark corner of the internet, but you only have to go on it for a second to see that this is not free speech. This is free speech masquerading as hate speech and masquerading as harassment and abuse. And it's a common thing for, you know, internet users of this type to say that, well, we're just giving our opinion, or that, you know, this is just a matter of public record or whatever. The reality is that very often these folks that troll others online are using that as an excuse and saying that they deserve this because they're in the public domain. Just because somebody has a store or they have a public-facing business doesn't mean that they should be subject to abuse. And it's so often held as free speech. We believe very strongly in free speech, but we don't believe in consequence-free speech.
Yeah, and those consequences obviously were, really laid bare on Friday at the High Court in Northern Ireland. What was it like walking through the Courts of Justice on Friday for yourself and Don O'Neill?
I can tell you that we spent very many days just alone, the two of us, walking in and out of those courts. This has been going on for us, like I say, since February of 2021. We've got a very supportive family and community and set of friends, but it is quite an isolating thing. And when you're abused online, you know that everybody can see it, and you're always quite paranoid that, God, have they seen that thing that was said about me today, or what's been said about me when I wake up now in the morning. And for us, it was always a case that we were going to try and see it through as best we could. And there's kind of three major phases to it. The first is identifying that the speech is defamatory. The second is identifying. And then the third is chasing down his assets. And that's the phase that we're in now at the moment, is we've got a global freeze on all of the various complex financial instruments that he uses. And we'll be hopefully taking those funds back on our side soon.
And when you say he, this is obviously the High Court of Northern Ireland unmasked the site's founder on Friday as Sebastian Bond. Was it a name you were familiar with, Neil?
I was familiar with it quite early because I'd done some of the technical investigation, and this individual has an IT degree, but he, I suppose, left his shirt unbuttoned in various places across his IT stack and how he constructed his website. And we had some very good friends in the IT sector that helped us find his name very quickly. The irony being, Andre, was this guy's an influencer himself. He has a following of 135,000 on a domain called Nest and Glow. And on Instagram, he's a vegan chef, effectively. But also he masqueraded under the pseudonym Helen McDougall. And I just think it's very dark that, you know, a man created a space for women to tear down other women under the pseudonym of a woman. It's really quite remarkable.
When you heard the landmark legal victory on Friday and the £300,000 that were awarded to you and your wife in damages, were you satisfied with the decision, Neil?
It's a good question. It's not really something that I've reflected on. We were delighted that it had been recognised and acknowledged, but what's the price of your reputation? And the internet doesn't have a half-life. It's forever. And what's written on the internet is archived. And, you know, when you Google these threads, they come up the same way. You know, if you're promoting your business or you're trying to create an online space for a community, these threads are coming up in search very close to, if not above, the search for the positive stuff about your business. So, yes, it was satisfying insofar as that we were acknowledged and that this had been landmark in Northern Ireland. It's one of the highest defamation awards in the history of the state. But there's more work to do, and certainly this space is still active today. He's in contempt of court as we have this conversation, and so, yeah, there's more work to do.
I can imagine for yourself and your wife, as two entrepreneurs and business people, this is not the type of radio interview I suppose you thought you'd ever be doing, Neil. You probably never really saw yourself as the face of the highest defamation award in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely not. And, you know, Donna's community, Silky is her business, a wonderful community of people that are, you know, building their identity through the clothes that they wear. And Donna's always had a very positive outlook on the online space. I was never really a public facing personality at all. I was a gilet wearing tech nerd in the background in Silicon Valley for the best part of 20 years. So I never expected that we would have to undertake this work. And I can tell you there's a lot of other things that we could be doing, you know, as a relatively newly married couple as well, just trying to build our lives. This is not the the work that we ever wanted to do. But as I say, the communities that have reached out to us that we never had heard of the level and the depth of the victimization that this site had imbued, it's been really encouraging. The people that have shared the story and that have reached out to us to say, yep, I never said it, but I went offline 5-6 years ago after having a very successful business because I was being attacked and abused.
And for your own businesses, Neil, now going forward, I mean, does this sort of close that chapter? Does it? Is there a sort of a line drawn in the sand now in this chapter of your lives? Can you move on from this?
Well, as I said, it was a very complex 4 years from a technical standpoint, and we've learned a lot. My own company is building software now that automates the full process that we went through to unmask this person. It'll be launching later on this summer. It's unmask.com.ai, but effectively readies you for litigation as you go through the process of identifying defamatory speech. And then the next step is to bring that complaint to, you know, the internet service providers and the platforms like Meta and Instagram, and in this case, Tattle Life, and ensure that something's done about it. So, you know, we're really looking forward to the day that the online space is a safer space and that it's used more responsibly by everyone. But yeah, hopefully this will be behind us soon.
And just very finally, is there anything, Neil, that you feel the government here and in Northern Ireland could do in terms of supporting yourself and so many others who've had to go through something similar to this?
Yeah, look, from what I understand, the police have been contacted in multiple jurisdictions about this site, Andrea, so they are aware. But I will say that there was a TD, Cal Crowe, mentioned this about a year ago in Irish government circles. And the big calling that I have in Northern Ireland, the ICO, the Information Commissioner's Office, for those that are affected, to make a complaint there, make a complaint to the Minister of Communications, but also that Google, who are headquartered in Ireland, take this ads accounts down. As I mentioned, there was a Google ad served. I just looked at the site this morning. Discover Ireland is advertising on this site, and certainly not a look that we want for the country. So the only way this guy makes money is Google ads, and I'd encourage them to take that account down.
Okay. And just very finally, Neil, where do you go from here for yourself and Donna, just getting your life back on track and a little bit of normality beyond the radio interviews that have come since Friday?
Yeah, we never expected to be on radio for this reason at all, Andrea. So look, for us, it's just a matter of business as usual. Donna's business is thankfully very active at the moment. It's summertime, and all the ladies who are looking for their fashionable attire for the summer are in touch with Donna. So she's busy with that, and I'm just busy finalising this software so that we can release it to people and hopefully continue to get more good weather, Andrea. We've had a good patch of it, but not so much anymore.
But hopefully it stays. It's pretty decent here in Dublin today. Neil, look, I really appreciate your time. Thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live, and best wishes to yourself and Donna. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for raising the awareness. Very important to us. Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.